Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome to another installment of all things WWE right here on the Pro Wrestling Index on the This Is Your Anfield Index podcast channel. There you go. A bit of a mouthful, got it all out. Andy Wills here, joined this evening once again by partner in crime right now, Guy Drinkle. Was that crime time? What was that?
Oh, God.
Remember them?
Hey, they were terrible.
They were pretty terrible. A bit like us, really.
Oh, that's a bit harsh. Does that mean Mo carries the show?
Or are we the brothers of destruction?
In a bad sense.
As long as we're not the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, with a BWO.
Hey, well, it's... Oh, it's pay-per-view weekend again. I mean, we haven't had one in, 2 weeks? Oh, it's almost seems such a long time, isn't it?
Almost allowed stories to develop.
Yeah. Remember the old days when we used to have a pay-per-view once a month? How did we get through it?
I don't know. I mean, you're getting your money... Well, you're not really getting your money's worth, but you're getting some worth for your $9.99.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at this card... You're not getting your money's worth. You're really not. If you're paying via pay-per-view in America, then I question your sanity. And if you're actually paying to be there in the audience, I guess you're just paying to go and see the Shield reunion because there ain't too much else happening.
I'm sure there's plenty of tickets available.
Well, it's quite possible. I mean, this has been a bit of a trend lately. I know that it's been quite sort of well hidden, but When they do the shot of the arena as they do early on, take a look at the upper standings because I think it was at the last pay-per-view where it was noted that there was rather a lot of empty seats. So maybe they're just burning people up a little bit too much here. It's a TLC this weekend, so we're going to preview that tonight. Go through a little bit of Raw as well, because obviously a few little things to talk about with that. But before we do, we'll start with SmackDown, because a couple of things in there. First one being, we've had the follow-up now from the whole Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn thing. And I've got to say, I'm really loving it. This new coat of paint on Sami Zayn, I think, is so refreshing. Getting to see a different side of Sami Zayn, and we're seeing Sami Zayn can deliver promos. This guy can deliver promos, and it looks like he looks reinvigorated, not just, him playing a character, but he looks reinvigorated by this. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, he is, he's on fire at the moment, isn't he? I mean... His promo the week after Hell in a Cell was perfect, and his follow-up one this week with Daniel Bryan was perfect. I mean, he's still trying to portray, well, as he said, he's still the same guy, but there's just a different edge to him. And just the undercurrents of his promo with Daniel Bryan, when he literally just took the piss out of his... soon to be reignited career, should I say, rather than ended.
It was
take the piss out of Daniel Bryan, who he said he has similarities to, and there is certain similarities there, but you could never see Daniel Bryan, where he obviously started off as a heel, but you never really saw that again, especially when he got onto his big hype, and you've seen with Sami Zayn that he may be even more of a natural heel than the first.
There were some little biting comments in there, a few, well-written, well-directed comments. I thought that it was really nicely done. I've heard a couple of people say, why is Sami Zayn still coming out to the same music? They'll have to change the Scar music up because it doesn't really fit a heel character. And the whole thing of him coming out doing the dancing and the smiling and everything like that. And it's like, that's not a heel character. It doesn't fit. And actually goes so far as to say, it kind of does, because the character that he's become, it's like he's mocking the fans. So at this stage, I'm sure it may well be that they do change his music and he does kind of drop that part of it from his act. But I think in these early weeks of it, it's like he's mocking the fans. And I think it just kind of adds fuel to the fire and the heat that he's trying to get from the crowd.
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, as I said, he's kind of playing a very similar character, but there's just another twist on him. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it's not really necessary to change the way they really present him or his music. He's the same bloke, really. I mean, there isn't much to change, because obviously we haven't really seen anything of Sami Zayn or anything of note from Sami Zayn probably since last year. So I think it still suits the character, because he's not exactly just turned into Kevin Owens, where he's a bit of a lunatic and more aggressive. He's still a bit dopey bloke who just comes out bouncing about, but there's just some aura around him and Kevin Owens. Obviously they have great chemistry, both in the ring and out the ring, as we've seen previously, but there's just an aura of twatishness about him now, isn't there?
I like that. That's a nice way of putting it. It works. That's the thing that they say, the most convincing heel turns are the ones where they don't suddenly completely change their character overnight. It's that subtle change, and it's that slightly different viewpoint of saying the same things and seeing the same things, but seeing them slightly differently, And that subtlety makes it more convincing, and the promos he's given have been fantastic. And it does, it's that little tiny little things. I'm just seeing it like he was right, this and that. And I think they've done it really, really well. I think he's, it's been brilliant for him. He's doing it brilliantly. And again, it's just another thing for Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is just, he's just a delight to watch. As a long time wrestling fan, Kevin Owens is an absolute delight to watch in every way possible. I like his work in the ring. I love his aggressive stuff. He adds a level of nastiness. His promos are superb. His character is so well developed. And it's the other little things in there as well. The way that the things that he shouts out, he's almost like he's commentating on his own matches at times. He's like a classic heel character. He's fantastic. Like I say, as a long-time fan, he's just the kind of guy I absolutely love watching. I think he's fantastic, and it's great to see them two working so well together. Like you said, they really do have that natural chemistry, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's Kevin Owens is, for me, he's the real future of WWE, and as long as I can keep him happy, they're going to have a megastar in there. I mean, when you were speaking there, I was trying to think who I can compare him to. I mean, there's a little bit of Edge, there's a little bit of Randy Orton, there's a little bit of even like monster heels like Kane and so forth. I mean, there's just a bit of lunacy. I mean, there's even a bit of like Cactus Jack and stuff in there. I mean,
there's bits of Stone Cold in there as well for me. Mm. I think he's the closest they've got in terms of a character and someone who can deliver and carry himself in the way that Stone Cold did. Obviously, not doesn't physically resemble him, but I just nailed on money. And somewhere down the line, I don't know how long it will be, but at some point down the line, the crowd will get behind him so much that they'll just have to turn him. And if they do it right, he will be, you know, he will go from being monster heel to monster babyface.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Stone Cold and even people like CM Punk, they weren't exactly portrayed as like John Cena, super babyface and all this. But there is stuff like there that, I mean, Stone Cold didn't obviously play a normal face either. But if you look at Stone Cold and CM Punk, there is very much potential in Kevin Owens to be that anti-establishment face type thing. And obviously his feud with Shane McMahon, obviously he's the heel in that one, but obviously you can see he could probably easily work that on the other side. I mean, not right now, but he can easily have him feud with Triple H or something like that later down the line. But yeah, his potential is just absolutely limitless at the moment, and I'm starting to think, not as high, but you can see similar potential in Sami Zayn. Obviously, he's not had as a successful run in the main roster, but if this partnership or relationship with Kevin Owens propels him up to a similar footing as Kevin Owens, I mean, these two could have an iconic feud in the modern era that we've not really seen. I mean, we've had Austin and Rock. I mean, just Cena Orton, it was very overly done, but it was iconic to a certain degree. Cena Edge, I mean, we've seen some iconic ones, but there's not really been memorable, and this could be memorable for in-ring reasons and just for actual having a relationship in and outside of the ring. This new thing could be the start of two very, very successful careers.
You mentioned iconic. You know, iconic pairings and iconic clashes. you know what's coming, don't you? See, I could have gone with the segue of you go from unlimited to very much limited. Now, we also had on SmackDown a challenge from Jinder Mahal, or Jinder Juice, as I once christened him, to Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. Champion versus champion. Oh God, champion versus champion. Yes, he's still the WWE champion. Beast versus Jobber. What? I mean, really?
Steroid football match.
Oh, Jesus. This is... How painful is this going to be? I mean, like I suggested, are we going to get 10 minutes of three moves?
Well, there's not going to be three moves from Jinder, is it? and that's just because he doesn't have any more in his repertoire. If it goes 10 minutes, I mean, I'd imagine 8 of that would be the entrances. but you've seen, this is just the most pointless match ever. I mean, it's going to headline Survivor Series, which is probably one of the big four pay-per-views. As you said... before we started recording, Andy, I mean, looking to possibly expand on the brand versus brand thing that they obviously started last year with the big match. So maybe they end up doing IC title versus US title and all that stuff. But yeah, this is the most horrendous way to start this if it's going to be a common theme, because if they have Jinder Mahal have be any sort of danger to Brock Lesnar, it buries every star on Raw. I mean, it kills... Well, it wouldn't, but you get what I mean. I mean, it would make Braun Strowman look weak. It would make Randy Orton look weak, who obviously got, like, destroyed by Brock Lesnar only a year ago. It'd make Samoa Joe look weak.
But it's all about that Indian market, it seems, for the WWE, because they've already sacrificed...
I'd rather the great Khali come back and fight Lesnar.
Yeah, but they've already sacrificed Shinsuke Nakamura for trying to make Jinder Mahal look strong. It looks like now they're lining up AJ Styles to be the next guy who can lose clean to Jinder Mahal, and it's like, I'm sorry, and no disrespect to Jinder. You know, I guess I'm sure he works incredibly hard to get where he's got, and a decent pro and everything like that. But his promos are okay. He's carried himself quite well, but
just
he's very, very
limited. Right.
Yeah, but he's very, very limited in the ring, and the way he's been portrayed for years and years, it's just not convincing, and it just doesn't feel legitimate, and people know it isn't. And I think it's done damage to the brand, it's done damage to the title, and I don't think it's really helped Jinder too much because people haven't really took him seriously. I think if it had been a long reign as a US champion, it probably would have got more from that because the eyes of the world and the pressure and expectation is not so much on that title, yet he would still be in the limelight as a champion. You know what I mean? It still would have been significant. It still would have meant something, but he wouldn't have been so harshly judged, I don't think, as being in possession of the main title, you know, the most prestigious title in the business, as they keep telling us it is. So it's whatever they do. I mean, either they bury him and it's another guy that just loses easily to Lesnar, which makes everyone on SmackDown look ridiculous, or, you know, is this another guy that sacrificed to Jinder Mahal just to try and convince everyone that he is a strong champion? I mean, it's not something I don't think anybody's really going to look forward to. I mean, like you say, there was rumors at the weekend that they were planning to do this, and obviously it's come to fruition with him making the challenge. And from that, yeah, there's also rumors that we could be in line for a lot of cross promotion matches, which, as we said beforehand, it does make sense because in a way that it makes the Survivor Series different. You know, give us something a bit different. Why should we watch this rather than the stuff we're watching every week on TV anyway, in the pay-per-views that we get every 2 or 3 weeks? It makes it a bit different and throws up something different for us to watch, something potentially interesting. So, I mean, what other kind of matches do you think, you know, could grab people? What about, you know, maybe The Shield versus New Day or something like that?
Yeah, I think that's the best shout. I mean, I was trying to think who could feud with Corbin. That'd probably be interesting, but you're not going to exactly see Miz versus Corbin, are you? But yeah, I think that's probably the best shout, really. I mean, New Day versus Shield, as I think I said last week, there's not really a natural feud for The Shield, is there? But yeah, New Day versus The Shield is just absolutely printing money, and the only bad thing about that is it probably won't be the main event to Lesnar versus Jinder. But yeah, I mean, you could probably throw any match together. I mean, AJ Styles versus Finn Balor, that could be good.
What about Cesaro and Sheamus versus New Day? The Usos. Yeah, sorry, the Usos.
That'd be,
that's it. It's all these different type of all these different type of matches that we, you know, matches that we've not seen for a while. This is an opportunity to throw them up, isn't it? It could be that it makes it a really interesting pay per view and something that people will really look forward to seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's especially the big match.
And forget about the main event.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best thing about doing inter-promotional rosters is that you can carry a terrible main event. But I think the main match for Survivor Series, where it'll be Team Raw versus Team SmackDown, that'll be quite interesting because Team SmackDown, I imagine, will be quite heel heavy, especially if Owens and Sammy would be the co-captain kind of thing. I imagine you'd probably be seeing like Rusev and stuff on there, so it'd be quite interesting really to see how that plays out. I mean, yeah, I think it'll be a good pay-per-view, just marred by a couple of really bad matches. I mean, the women's big match never really blows anyone away, does it? I mean, and that the rumoured main event, hopefully AJ somehow gets the title beforehand, because AJ versus Brock could be interesting. They'll probably just feed him to Lesnar, if so, but it'd be much more interesting than Jinder versus Lesnar in a steroid on a pole match.
Hey, you mentioned that, yeah, that's it. You could have the women of Raw, you know, four or five women from Raw versus four or five women in SmackDown, four or five men from Raw versus SmackDown. Yeah, we mentioned there a couple of tag team matches
Asuka,
in there.
Asuka versus Charlotte, maybe.
Yeah, you know, that's it. We've got the obviously the top of the card. There's the champion versus champion, all that. All round, it could be a really good pay-per-view. But I guess we're getting a little bit carried away. You know, we're looking at a pay-per-view that excites us.
Just trying to put off the crap.
We're just trying to deny the inevitable, which is TLC, tables, ladders, chairs. And I still remember when that actually started with the Hardys, Edge and Christian and the Dudleys. And obviously, yeah, the SummerSlam, the first ever one, and then the WrestleMania, you know, absolutely fantastic. Brilliant matches. They were different. They were unique. They were exciting. I think gimmick pay-per-views take a little bit of an edge off the actual gimmick of the match, and we've seen so many that it doesn't feel excited, and it doesn't feel like, you know, we're going into TLC matches because, you know, this is the journey that's got us there. It's just kind of thrown together, and let's be honest, the card feels like, other than a couple of matches that we've, you know, they've kind of built it around, it is pretty much thrown together. It is lackluster at best, let's be honest. I mean, pre-show, Alicia Fox versus Sasha Banks. I don't see what this does for Sasha. Putting her back in with Alicia Fox again. What does she get from this? I'm perplexed by this one, Guy.
The best thing about it is that not many people will watch it because it's on the pre-show. And not many people will witness it. But yeah, I mean, unless they're trying to make Alicia Fox into something genuine.
They've had 10 years and they haven't managed it. It ain't happening, guys. It ain't happening, I'm afraid. There's at least 15 more talented women on the roster than her.
Well, there's rumours that Nia Jax is left for a wee bit. So maybe they're just trying to fill Nia Jax's spot with Alicia Fox. I mean,
unsuccessfully.
There's not really a like for like, is there? But yeah.
I think it's just
trying to fill Sasha. I mean, we've all been wanting that heel turn for a while now, but possibly just waiting for the right moment on it. But yeah, I mean, it's just a hard, most of the women's division on Raw is now just a big malaise, isn't it? I mean, we'll get onto the title match, but it's not exactly
interesting. The title match, yeah, we'll do that. I mean, because like I say, the only thing that can save Alicia Fox versus Sasha Banks is if it's actually used towards, as part of a turn for Sasha, then maybe. But other than that, it's pointless, it seems to me. But anyway, yeah, the title match you mentioned, Alexa Bliss defending against Mickie James. One of the worst builds again, you know, built around old insults. I mean, is this really what you want to be telling your audience? That one
we haven't seen this before with Mickie James, have we? She was bullied out of the company back in day.
She's a very good performer, but she's not been presented very well since her return.
Came back as mental, then not mental, then southern, then a bit mental, and now she's feuding for the women's title because someone called her old. That's about it. It's a really weird one. I mean, it is just a filler feud till there's something more interesting. But yeah, I mean, it'll probably be an alright match. I mean, Mickie James, obviously, she's had a Hall of Fame career, really, hasn't she? I mean, she was kind of there towards the end of Trish and Lita and stuff like that.
She'll certainly
be a Hall of Famer.
She fought Trish for the title. Mm. Trish Stratus, so, you know, towards the end of her career, but yeah, very good performer, but this is not one I'm looking forward to, I've got to say. And I certainly don't expect the title to change hands.
No, I mean, that'd probably just be a kick in the teeth, really. But yeah, I mean, Alexa Bliss is doing a very good job as champion. I mean, there's not a lot to, as I think this match kind of just sums up the problems that there is having a split women's division. Like, there isn't a lot there, and you're kind of relying on, I don't want to say the old guard, because we just said it's a bit crap build to call her old, but yeah. I mean, having Mickie James rushed into a title match feud is a bit desperate, even though, as we keep saying, Mickie James is a very good performer, but it is all a bit rushed, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, this kind of summarises bigger problems in the women division.
Yeah, because, I mean, the real interest in terms of the women performing at this event is Asuka, who's going to be fighting Emma. I think her taking on Emma makes sense. You know, they're going to feed her a first opponent. They don't want to give her someone too high profile, you know, like Bayley and Sasha, throwing them in front of her to lose. It doesn't make sense. It's too soon while Bliss has got the title. Emma, for me, it makes sense. How they got to that was a bizarre one. A battle royal for the chance to face someone who everyone's supposed to be fearing. You know, it's just a very strange booking. But
especially when Emma had a long-standing feud on NXT where her and Dana Brooke just got the absolute crap beaten out of them for months.
Yeah, but that didn't exist, remember?
Oh, I mean, no.
Remember, Bobby Roode was a heel in NXT and he turned up as a babyface. White meat babyface now.
Do you remember when Finn Balor wasn't worthless and actually did stuff on NXT?
There was lots of people who were very good on NXT and have been handled badly ever since. But
there was a tag team called The Revival, if I remember.
Oh, there's been all sorts. We could be here all night talking about that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the debut of Asuka. Interesting to see how the presenter. Hopefully they don't try and get her to do too much in the way of promo work, because obviously she struggles with that. Keep more of a mystique, I think, should be the way to go with her. Don't
silent
have her talk too much.
Silent assassin.
Yeah. And that bit of heelish edge to her, you know, where she starts, you know, screaming in Japanese, that's, you know, that it just adds something to her character. It really does. It's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting to see quite how they present her.
Yeah, this is the first time a female star's really had this sort of build from NXT. I mean, obviously the way they brought in Charlotte, Becky, and Sasha.
Yeah, laughable.
Yeah, it was really crap. So, I mean, this is the first time we've really seen a female superstar get a proper big build rather than just coming in the draft, coming in a stupid Women's Revolution promo. So yeah, this should be interesting. Obviously, the streak still there, which is the I keep saying limitless potential. But yeah, again, this is, if done right, this should be one of the biggest moments in women's wrestling history. Whoever breaks that is it's Undertaker levels, isn't it? It's Goldberg levels.
It's certainly going to be, well, yeah, it should be. But
yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
It should be, yes. But on the main roster, they love parity booking. So don't be surprised if she loses. You know, if you beat someone, you have to pay them back with a loss the following week. So don't be surprised if we see, you know, the ridiculous parity booking. But hopefully,
on Raw.
Yeah. If they break the streak early, they are mental. They should look at what they did at NXT. When they do get the title on her, if they're sensible, give it a few months, build towards that. Get the title on her, unbeaten, and keep it on her for a year. And then her losing the title would be a WrestleMania moment, not the WrestleMania coming up, the one after. That's what you do.
A big shout, yeah.
Exactly. That's what you do. That's how you do things. Yeah. You know what I mean? You build up to it.
I mean,
make the most of it.
The perfect way to do it for me would be, she steamrolls Emma. I mean, it's not really damage done to Emma because it is Asuka. She's got this mystique behind her. Then she shows what she can do properly in the ring with Sasha Banks. Maybe get pushed a bit more. Then come out with this heelish character, as you said. I mean, that was kind of towards the end of NXT, but it was more intriguing. And then she can beat Alexa Bliss, and as you say, have a long title run. Draft comes along next year, after WrestleMania. Charlotte goes to Raw, puts someone back on SmackDown, and then there's your natural feud of Charlotte versus Asuka to eventually break the streak, hopefully as a WrestleMania. I mean, if done right, that could possibly main event WrestleMania if it's not too big, but I mean, we'll probably never see it, but it's a WrestleMania main event worthy event if it's done right.
Again, if it's done right, then that's the thing, you know, don't rush through everybody, but make sure, you know, she stays strong, stays unbeaten, and like you say, you know, then find the right opponent, build towards it, and you've got yourself a WrestleMania moment. So
even if it's the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, it's a potential. I mean, I actually suspect it kind of thing where you'd build towards it. It's Bayley, you know.
That's the ultimate one, isn't it? The underdog. But I
mean, yeah,
the way they've done Bayley's been horrendous.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Again, another example of NXT.
I mean, we keep saying this, but they are going to screw it up, because which other than Alexa Bliss and possibly Carmella, who haven't they screwed up at a time?
Well, yeah, unfortunately, they don't seem to want to replicate some of the things that happen in NXT. So for their own reasons, I don't know. At some point, they must realise they're all part of the same company. You know, it's
true.
You don't need to reinvent the wheel.
Just give Triple H control of the women's division for now. It'll do. Yep. It'll be bigger for Vince if he does that.
Right, over to the cruiserweight division, or what's left of it. Yeah, Brian Kendrick, Jack Gallagher. I didn't even know he turned heel. Versus Cedric Alexander.
Is that on actual pay per view?
Yeah, versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann. Now, this obviously will be the break in between whatever match goes on and then...
The Shield, yeah.
The Shield. This will be the break of match to bring the crowd down.
The piss break.
Yes.
Even when it's not live, it's still a piss break.
I find it a shame because, I mean, we talked about this last week, you know, Cedric Alexander, huge talent, I mean, really huge, phenomenal talent.
I mean, remember Jack Gallagher
was another one.
Yeah,
Jack Gallagher was really over with the crowd. They loved him.
Yeah. It's terrible, isn't it?
Like, it's a real shame.
As I said, as my reaction showed, I couldn't believe they actually were getting a pay-per-view spot when there's a... Is there a title match? Is it just Enzo versus...
Yeah, well, that's the other one. Enzo versus Kalisto.
Just one-on-one.
This is Kalisto, the... cruiserweight champion, who said on Raw, when I beat you at TLC, I will walk out the new champion.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, hang on a minute, no, you've got the title belt on your shoulder, mate. You're already the champion.
I mean, at first I didn't like Enzo being champion, but to put it on Kalisto, who's just a damp squib, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that they've literally. It was the way of getting out of that that clause, that, you know, that storyline that they obviously threw together at the last minute.
I would have rather been Sin
Cara. Well, I'm sure we'll get that. But yeah, so do you think the title's going back on Enzo?
I kind of hope so. Obviously, they've put this little stable behind him, or give him some security. But
just
back
nowhere,
on that tag team match, I don't really care about that tag team match, but yeah, the title match. Unfortunately, I think they kind of need it on Enzo at the moment, because they've lost Neville, who was actually a star, and they've got no one else. No one gives a crap about Kalisto, do they? And they're seeming. I think they're trying to build up Mustafa Ali, and I think that's the natural way to do it. Is have Enzo, the champion, and build up Mustafa Ali, because he's kind of the one. I think it's more through social media more than anything, because I think he interacts and all that. I think they'll be trying to build him up against Enzo, and that might be a Survivor Series moment for Mustafa Ali.
You mentioned the little stable that Enzo suddenly acquired. I mean, what was that all about? That just come from nowhere. No explanation, no not. It was just like, what?
I have explained it on 205 Live, I just haven't watched it.
But that wasn't, I don't know, even if it's not via a promo, there's got to be something that makes it logical, because it's 2 weeks ago, they were all doing their finishing moves on him.
Yeah.
It's
stupid booking for a stupid division, isn't it? But I can see where they're going to go with this. Obviously, they're going to say, Enzo's came in, give us a main event spot, give us, two main event spots. And then we want to ride on his coattails for a little bit, make our fame. But, I mean...
Well, why not then, before that segment, why not backstage... Or, you know, backstage him saying something about that, you know, all them guys, they were doing that to me. But look, you know, I got the belt. Look what's happened last two, or three
even,
weeks on Raw.
We've been main event. After the attack. So, yeah, I mean,
I brought them all exposure. You know, I brought them all they're in the main events on Raw. They're more relevant, everything like that. A little bit of, you know, a little seed there before you do it. It's storytelling, and that's what wrestling is supposed to be. Bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, it's, well, the Neville saga's not helping the division when he's the only one, he's been carrying the division for so long, and now he's leaving, and then everyone else is just a bit...
Crowd were cheering for him as well, weren't they? They were chanting, "We want Neville, we want Neville, we want Neville." Yeah. That's gone pretty quiet, so.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to be going.
Let's hope it's something.
I mean, it was an alright couple of weeks having the main event Raw, but it's back to normal now, isn't it? Couldn't give a crap. I mean, yeah. I was more interested when Jack Gallagher was challenging, because I knew that would be quite funny at least, whereas this, it's. I don't like Enzo that much. I mean, obviously he's turned into a heel now, so he's doing his job, but I didn't like him anyway because he was annoying. I don't like Kalisto. Mustafa Ali, I can appreciate the talent and stuff, but he's not really had an impact yet, so still got to build him a bit more. And his little posse, just for the people who I don't really give a crap. I can't even remember who was in it. I mean, was it
Tony Neitz, Drew Gulak,
I hope they haven't put Jack Gallagher with him.
I can't remember, but it's that whole thing. There's so many people where it's they're almost like, you know, wrestling computer game create a wrestler sort of look and characters. There's just no. That's the thing. Like you mentioned, Mustafa Ali, fantastic talent. You know, brilliant. Some of his moves in the ring, absolutely superb. But there's no natural charisma there yet. So
he's not really had a chance, to be fair.
No, there's just that natural sort of charisma of connecting with the crowd. It's not quite there. Whereas someone like Cedric Alexander does seem to have that. But I think it's putting them in the right audience, in the right place, the right time, the right storylines, everything. And they've not had that. So the whole thing just needs a rethink. But we've done that one to death, haven't we? Moving on then to, I'm not sure how to describe this one. Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt in drag. I mean, Sister Abigail, it is. I said to you that Monty Python were more convincing when they dressed up as women. That this was just cringe. It just made me cringe. And.
It's going to be a pumpkin versus a widow, isn't it? Basically what it looks like.
Whoever wrote that script for Finn Balor and made him go out there and say them words, it just fire them.
I wasn't listening at all. I wasn't listening. Awful. Then he just popped up on my screen with an orange face. I was like, mate, you're not in the Geordie show. Get off my screen.
Yeah, I mean, that for stuff what, like that.
We all know the match is probably going to be a bit... Well, it might be an improvement on what we've seen, but ultimately it's going to be Dolph Ziggler versus Bobby Roode. It could be the best match ever, and nobody's going to give one toss, either. Nobody gives a toss. It's just a shame, really, unless this Sister Abigail thing is a new beginning for... Bray Wyatt, but how many times?
Was he joining the women's division?
Could do with it. Could do with the numbers.
Are we gonna?
He could replace Nia Jax.
Well, do you remember Santino Marella.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you remember when Eagle had dressed up as a woman and competed for the Divas title?
Oh, dear me.
Is that the future for Bray Wyatt? Sister Abigail?
God. Yeah.
There's your WrestleMania moment, Sister Abigail versus Asuka.
Jesus. I mean, I am a little intrigued just to see how they present it, but ultimately I do know this is just going to I don't know, dig a second grave for Bray Wyatt's career.
No, it's going to suck balls. That's what it's going to do. It's awful. It needed to finish about 6 weeks ago. It's just not working. You're doing so much damage to Finn Balor.
You're going to end up with these two in a tag team or something.
God.
Sister Abigail.
Yeah. This surely, though, has to be the end of it now. This surely has to end it. And they have to move on.
What if Sister Abigail wins? I don't care. I don't care who wins or loses. Just finish it, yeah.
Yeah, finish it. whatever happens, finish it. Move Finn Balor on. Let him do something meaningful because he's been wasted and it's a crying shame.
I kind of want to see him in the tag team now. It'd be funny.
God. So that just leaves us with the Shield reunion, and we had on Raw. I said to you, go home shows that they've become so sterile, so boring and dull. They're effectively like 2 or 3 hour, video packages just promoting the event. When we also get, an hour and whatever of video packages. But as much as I was like, what the hell? At least the end of Raw with the return of Kane, at least it was something interesting, something different. But I'm just a bit perplexed as to how Kane suddenly appears and what's Kane got to do with the Shield reuniting. Can you enlighten me, please? Because I'm in the dark.
I think the best theory is what Nathan said in our WhatsApp group, is that the Samoa Joe wasn't fit in time. It's the only explanation. I mean, I think, well, the other explanation is I think they're trying to get all the classic big men to seemingly work with Braun Strowman in some way. I mean, obviously you had the feud with Big Show, and maybe they're trying to lead up to something with Kane versus Braun Strowman, just to, I don't know, just a legends thing. Maybe get him up. Well, he's already massively over, but I think it's a more of respect thing, isn't it? But yeah, I mean, it was really random. As Kane's biggest fan, I particularly loved it, but it didn't really make sense, but I'm kind of happy for it. I don't think he'll be involved a hell of a lot. Obviously, he's been... I don't know what town it is in, I think it's in Tennessee, but he's running for mayor or something, or governor, I can't remember. I think it was just good television more than anything. And I think the most natural thing is for Strowman versus Kane in some way, just to have a classic big man feud.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the crowd got a kick out of seeing the Shields come into the ring, all three of them, dressed in their old gear, coming down like they used to. Perhaps that really should have been saved for the pay-per-view,
Especially the entrance music.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Shield, there they are. There's three of them. They're the baby faces. They're the ones who are in jeopardy. They're outnumbered. 4 versus 3 against The Miz. Against Cesaro and Sheamus, who are a fantastic tag team, who are big, strong, physical. Against Braun Strowman as well, who's been destroying people. That already is, them outnumbered. The odds are against them. So that's a classic, the baby faces are outnumbered. The odds are against them. They have to overcome the odds, and everyone should get behind them. To add another one, but a guy from nowhere, it does seem rather bizarre. It's the only logical thing can be that, like you've said there, it's that it somehow ends with Strowman and Kane moving off together, and that's a short program for Strowman to again look strong, beating another big guy after, you know, kind of repairing the damage after he looked rather weak being beaten by one F5 in a 10-minute match versus Brock Lesnar. But yeah, this is a thing, like, you know, he's getting over, but in the eyes of the fans, he's already a babyface. They're already cheering him. So I don't know. It's just, I'm kind of looking forward to the match. I guess I'm still, like, you know, the crowd's getting a bit of a kick out of seeing the Shield back together. But in terms of a build for a pay-per-view and for a main event, it is lackluster. It's like, there's that word again.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be a good match. I mean, I don't think the Shield in a big tag team match have ever put on a bad one, really. Actually, no. Do you remember them versus, I think it was Kane and Road Dogg and Billy Gunn? I think it was WrestleMania. It was terrible. I think it was their first WrestleMania. But yeah, since then, they've not had a big, bad match, and obviously they've all gone on to have, successful singles careers. But yeah, it's a bit weird. It's a bit weird, but it is going to be good. And I think that's mainly because we know Cesaro and Sheamus, and the tag team champions, them two. They're just going to put on so many mental spots, really. And having Kane and Miz in there, I mean, and Strowman, it's just weird. We've seen Strowman and Reigns have probably one of the best feuds of this year.
Just one thing on it as well, actually. It's a TLC match. Now, the thing with the TLC match always was that it was basically just a brutal version of a ladder match. Mm. You know, to win, you climb the ladder and you got something. You know, so it was, you know, that's how it started out, wasn't it? It was all the tag team titles. There's that iconic thing, you know, they climb the ladder and there's Edge and Christian there with the tag team titles. Now, there doesn't at this stage, unless they announce it on the night, there's nothing for them to climb for. So what's the point in it being a TLC match other than it's gimmick because it's a TLC event? Can they on the night announce, say, the tag team titles and the Intercontinental title, they're all hanging from there. So, you know what I mean? And that's maybe a way of peeling Braun off from it is, you know, if the Shield win, then obviously there's Ambrose and Rollins keep the tag titles, but Reigns also gets the IC title, and you flip it to the other way is, it would be Cesaro and Sheamus that gain by getting the tag team title. So what's Braun Strowman got to gain from that? I mean, is that a potential way of throwing something in there as a way to make it a little bit more interesting?
Possibly, but I don't think that would work just because the numbers don't add up.
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Yeah?
Unless Kane and Strowman become half of the tag team. just a big faction. But no, I don't think they'll add it. I think they'll just keep it to a pinfall.
So why have it as a TLC match? That's the thing, isn't it?
Really, what makes sense, does it?
Yeah, it's like a ladder match, but you're not actually, you know, going for anything.
Basically, TLC seemingly just turned into one of those, you know, where Street Fight, no disqualification.
A hardcore match.
Hardcore match. They're all just the same thing, but some of them just sound fancier. And the TLC matches just kind of turned into that, and it's been, well, as you said, the first one was SummerSlam and WrestleMania. It's obviously been watered down massively since then. And I think what we'll probably end up seeing is the five guys will probably dominate most of the match. Then there'll be a comeback. Then we'll probably end up seeing Strowman and Kane falling out, and then probably them having a brawl that leads them out of the match, then kind of evens things up or something. That probably makes more sense to me, because obviously it's not going to have tags in, so it's just going to be five guys outnumbering them all. So basically, you've always got two spare people just beating the crap out of people. So it doesn't really make much sense.
No, well that's it. It doesn't make an awful lot of sense. And I think what you suggested there,
Strowman.
Yeah, that's something.
Because he could beat up all three of them, probably.
That's the whole thing, isn't it? It's what we're going to get is a peel off somewhere of Strowman and Kane fighting, and then we're down to 3v3. And there's no, I mean, obviously, the Shield reunion, there's nothing else but the Shield ending the show. You know, the first time in how long that Roman Reigns is going to end a pay-per-view to cheers.
Yeah, that's the biggest victory, isn't it, for Vince?
It was all worth it for that moment.
True.
Yeah. So, I mean, overall, hopes high for this one or not? Or you're just kind of thinking, oh, it's going to be a bit of a shit fest and I'm going to skip through most of the matches?
It'll be terrible, won't it? I mean, there's only one match that really intrigues me. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how Asuka's presented, but we all know she's going to win. Well, God, could you imagine? We all.
Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there.
We all think Asuka's going to win, or 90% sure Asuka's going to win. But it'll just be weird how they change her presentation from it, and the Shield match. So yeah, my expectations are probably that of the Punjabi prison night. So it's probably rock bottom down there, and we don't have a tag team match to save the day this time.
I've got to say, look, I'm not. Like you said, there's a couple of matches in there, a couple of bits to look forward to, but on the whole, yeah, hopes are not high. Expectations are not right up there. So I suppose I can't be disappointed, really, can I?
No. I mean, we should get at least one good match. This time it won't be on the pre-show.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think we're almost assured of that, but anyway. Hey, well, there you go, folks. TLC. I bet you can't wait to tune in. It's well worth your $9.99 a month for that anyway, as you can tell by our enthusiasm. And we will be back next week to go over it and any talking points or anything else that comes up. I believe we'll be back next week, won't we?
Yeah, we'll be on our review show, which may be probably the shortest one. Unless something happens on TV. But the way SmackDown's happening, obviously Shane McMahon's back. So, yeah, I mean, we might do a quick review and then talk about the fallout from SmackDown, which might be more interesting.
Yeah, it certainly could be. But that wraps up this edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. Don't forget, you can always keep in touch with us here. At @PW_index is our Twitter handle. And as always, I want to say thanks to Guy for joining me here tonight, and we want to say thank you to all you lovely listeners out there for hitting that download button and listening into us to chat shit about wrestling week after week after week and endlessly moan about the stuff as well.
And more may be back. We don't know.
There we go. More might even be back next week. But until then, anyway, from me, Andy Wales, and from Guy Drinkle, it's bye-bye now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.